You're listening to a Syn Media podcast.
Made by young people, for young people.
Syn Media acknowledges and pays respect to the people of the Woiwurrung and Boonwurrung language groups of the Eastern Kulin Nations, on whose unceded lands the Syn Studios stand. Syn extends this respect to the traditional custodians and people of the lands and waters our content reaches. It always was, and always will be, Aboriginal land.
I just wanted to thank you for doing this interview today and congratulate you on the new album that's coming out. Just over a week to go, I wanted to say, how are you feeling and how's the preparation been going?
I'm super excited and also super nervous. I'm excited. I don't know, a lot of mixed emotions going on. But I feel like it's nice to kind of put it out because I've been working on it this last year and all the art and stuff that's gone with it. So yeah, it should be good. Fingers crossed.
Yeah, hopefully it go down. I'm very excited for it. The new single, Unfinished Business as well, when it came out, I was pretty excited, and it I've been dancing in my room to it. I wanted to speak about some of that art you mentioned. You've got lots of flags and lots of sort of the Union Jack. I've seen some things that have gone up. Questioned also, there's, I think you said, living the dream on the St. George's Cross. Is there, what sort of messaging's behind that as well?
With the whole kind of campaign and album projects, I really wanted to have a really strong visual identity because I love visuals and art and stuff. A lot of the music that I make is jungle, but there's a lot of Britpop influences and stuff like that, so I'm making very British music, and I feel I'm quite proud of my dual heritage, and I wanted to show that within my music. So that's where the kind of flag imagery came from, and also the kind of association with the Union Jack and punk culture, because I feel jungle is the punk music in electronic dance music for me personally. So there was that kind of punk element to it. And the flag that you mentioned, Living the Dream, I collaborated with the artist called Corbin Shaw, who's a friend of mine. He's from Yorkshire as well. And he makes a lot of flag imagery and quite thought-provoking words on flags and stuff. So yeah, I just feel I love albums or artists when they bring you into their world, and I really wanted to create a world around this album. We've got the bunny logo that my mate made, and you know, one of my favorite creatives, artists, is probably Aphex Twin. I feel he's done it so well, where all of his visuals are just so iconic and so cool. So I was definitely inspired by that a little bit as well.
Yeah, amazing. Wow. You've also spoken about, some of the people that you work with on this album. Ethan P. Flynn as well is someone that you work with. How was it sort of collaborating and working with these people as well? You've worked with many people as well across that are some big names as well, Georgia Smith, throw it out there. But how's it been to work with different artists on this album?
It's been really cool. I collaborated with Ethan and co-produced the entire album with him, which I think was just, I couldn't have picked anyone better to work with. He's such a nice person, so down to earth, but also really talented, ridiculously talented. And I think, you know, he's an artist in his own right, doing his own music, but his music meeting my music has made something really weird, but also kind of interesting, I think. And I don't think we could recreate what we've made. And yeah, I'm so glad that I made this project with him, because he brings a lot to the table, and his style and my style just work so well, I think.
Yeah, wow. And recently you've done a tour in Australia. So coming here, calling you from Australia, how was that tour and how did you find coming across here?
Yeah, it was so much fun. I really enjoyed starting the year off in Australia. It was, because obviously it's so gloomy in the UK at the moment, so yeah. It was nice to get the summer, and I really enjoy coming to Australia. I love Melbourne. It's my second time there, so I don't know, I kind of remembered everywhere I knew my way around Smith Street and all that.
Yeah,
I kind of had it in my mind, but I really enjoy playing shows here, and I always play with the operatives. This guy Jerry, who runs that, is my favorite promoter in the entire world. He's just such a legend. But yeah, I feel like the Aussies and the Kiwis, they always bring the vibes, and I feel like they really get the music. So I always have a lot of fun when I'm down under.
Yeah, amazing. Now you're the forefront, or the front runner, the front woman for the new junglist, sort of the scene. How have you found being that front runner, that pioneer, and sort of how did you come into that position?
I feel like I don't necessarily feel like I'm like the front runner, but maybe because of the like way that I present my art and my music, you do see my face quite a lot. So maybe that's what it is. I always think maybe I'm just the familiar face in the music. But I'm really proud of the music I make and the kind of culture that come from with Jungle. And some of the biggest validation for me being a part of the scene has been meeting my heroes and the original junglers who created this music that I enjoy now, you know what I mean? So I always have to credit them a lot for where I'm at now, you know.
Yeah, you definitely sort of I've noticed the way that you bring in sort of previous scenes and previous sort of history as well. But how do you see it shaping up in the future and the scene, and how do you see it moving, especially in the UK, in your eyes, going forward, the jungler scene?
I feel like it's just going to keep. I feel like like you said, there's the new generation. So there's like 18-year-olds who maybe have only heard a couple of tunes and they don't really know what this music is or what the culture or the history of it is. And I feel like there's, to keep things pushing forward, the young ones have got to get into it and they got to start making the music. And I feel like it's got super diverse, like over the past couple of years, and a lot of young people are into the music and stuff. So I'm excited for the future. Like I really enjoy the parties that I put on and stuff, and seeing the way that people react to the music, it makes me quite hopeful and optimistic for the new gen junglers. You know what I mean?
Yeah, and the rave and the club scene as well, is that growing? You've said the parties and things. Is that something that you've seen worldwide?
Yeah, definitely. Like for sure. Like I went to Asia for the first time the end of last year, and it was so crazy to see the way that they were reacting to like pretty heavy jungle beats in like, Korea, Japan, like Thailand. Like I feel like the UK and Australia and New Zealand, like it's quite normal jungle drum and bass. It's quite like everybody kind of listens to it, but like in specific places, it's always like, wow, this is amazing that people really love this music, like globally, you know.
Now, the album is called Silence is Loud, but we've got a few of the tracks that have come out already, a few of the releases, but we've also gotten the track list. So you've dropped that as well.
Yeah.
Cards on the Table is the second track. Have you got any sort of little things you can tell us about that track or anything in particular?
Yeah, it's actually my favorite song on the album. It's a bit of a love song, which I don't really write, to be honest with you. But I wrote it about a time I had in Dublin a year ago, and the production's like super laid back jungle, like very Britpop vibes, and it's definitely like a summer kind of, sunshine kind of tune. So yeah, I hope other people like it as much as I do.
Going into summer, it'll be great for
Yeah,
the UK as
definitely.
well. That's exciting. Yeah, Jen. And sort of piecing together these tracks, Unfinished Business, I think that's my favorite of the singles that's come out so far. I've really loved the music videos that you've put with them. How did you go about putting together these videos? And I mean, the production is pretty amazing. It's very, as you said, quintessentially British
Oh,
scenery.
thank you. I
Yeah,
appreciate
how
that.
have you gone about with that that production?
Well, I kind of made like a whole like creative mood board deck for the whole album, and it was quite extensive to be honest, but it was like my kind of Bible of what I wanted to create, and it was a real good like reference. And there's so many like little references within the videos, like there's a nod to The Streets, a lot of his early music videos. That's why I wore the polo. And there's some other little nods going on, but I really enjoyed working with Raw Tape on that video. Co-directed that with him. I think he's incredible. He's also from the north of England as well. So I've really enjoyed collaborating with other, visual artists on this project, and I feel like it's all really. It's all made it's the more videos come out, it all kind of makes sense because they all kind of reference each other, and we have the same some of my friends are in multiple videos because we wanted to keep it in the same world, like kind of like Black Mirror style. But yeah, no, I'm glad that you like them. I think yeah, they've come out pretty good.
It's interesting you mentioned The Streets there. I picked that up. They actually just came to Melbourne as well. So it's
But
been,
yeah.
interesting to see that. I wanted to see sort of that some of the themes that have come up on the album that seem to be screaming out are like the power of silence and loneliness as well, and sort of the play between speaking and remaining silent. And I wanted to know, what was your sort of messaging behind these themes?
I guess, you know, there's a lot of themes on the album. I feel like the word silence is loud to me. Like, silence can be a moment of weakness, or it can be a moment of power. But then also, like, realistically, silence can't be loud. And also, like, jungle music's so noisy and so chaotic. So it's a lot of contrasting themes in this album. And I kind of wanted to make a project that just kind of documented my life last year when I was 23, making this project, and just like what I guess most people go through in their early 20s, but also just in life, you know.
How have you found growing up and sort of hitting that 20s mark and getting a little bit older, especially as like hitting such success now and trajectory? So like your trajectory, sorry, going very up. How have you found that and sort of navigating your early 20s during this period?
I think as I'm getting older, I'm getting a bit more confident in myself, which is nice, because when I first started Near Archives projects, I was so shy. So I'm really enjoying like learning about myself in that way and just growing as a person, trying to, yeah, be healthier, be better, you know what I mean?
Has your creative process changed as well? Have you changed the way that you're starting to create new works and things?
Definitely, yeah. I mean, I started with my laptop in my bedroom and you know, on my own. And now my process on this album has been writing the songs in bed in the morning, making the beats in bed, and then taking the like demo into Ethan's like home studio, because he used to live in a flat like that overlooked the Barbican, so had a window. So yeah, that just even that process of like still having that bedroom producer aspect, but then going and working with someone else I've really enjoyed that process.
Yeah,
Yeah,
amazing.
that change.
Yeah, wow. Now, I just wanted to say a massive thank you. I'm super excited for this whole album. There's not much more to say. I just wanted to mention thank you so much. Can't wait for this to drop. Can't wait for April 12th. Best of luck with the whole tour in the UK as well. And thank you so much for speaking to me.
Oh, thank you so much. Lovely to speak to you.